Couple of hours of open lines coming up for you here right now on Coast to Coast AM. Let's get right to it next with we are asking for some Bigfoot stories that might be extraterrestrial, and we're going to be going out to a first-time caller here in just a few minutes in Tacoma, Washington. So stay with us here. Open lines, Coast to Coast AM. We want to hear from you. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis in for George Norrie tonight. Open lines happening right now, and we're going to get right to it. First-time caller line, Sam from Tacoma, Washington. Hi there, Sam. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. This is an exciting night. I love these types of stories. Do you got one for us?
Oh, yes. I'm currently in Tacoma, but I have a cabin out in the Cascade Mountains and the Crystal Mountain Resort area.
Nice.
And I moved out there some time ago, about a couple of years ago, and a gal named Barb, who has a Barb and Gabby YouTube channel, who regularly has interactions with them, I've seen them in many reports, and then I started going out in there, and I started having interactions with Sasquatches myself. Mm. I literally saw one a year ago, so that's become old news, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so I have my own YouTube channel called Planet Sasquatch, where I'm actually posting now pictures.
Oh, excellent.
Sasquatch is where I'm actually, and they're fairly clear. You can see them. And so we're trying to get that out. However, this past, getting to the really area of strangeness beyond that, with beyond just simply seeing and hearing the Sasquatches, which that is old, that is something very typical for us up there, is this past September, it was actually September 11th, we had a camp group, basically, of several individuals that, for the specific purpose of being able to, do Sasquatch research, and we're going up the trail to look at a particular tree break that would have been caused by the Sasquatch. As we were looking at that, Barb is always videotaping her for her YouTube channel, so she was just had it on. And while we were observing the break in the tree, all of a sudden they saw a huge black object run, and she noted that and said, "Did you see that run?" And so we didn't think anything of it. However, later that evening, she pulled out her video and looked at it and kept looking at it, and all of a sudden she observed a cloaking creature jumping down from a branch.
Whoa.
Yes. We kept looking at it. It had that translucent effect. It jumped down from the log and then took off very quickly.
And she got this on video?
Yes.
Oh.
Got it on YouTube, and within it went pretty viral on YouTube. She got like 40,000 hits within a month.
Oh my! I missed that one.
Yeah, it's made its rounds with several authorities in that area, and so we've been examining the video to see what it was. Lately, we're coming to terms with the fact what we're seeing is actually kind of a round head with a big eye. So it's basically, coming to terms that possibly that may have been an alien with a Sasquatch running at the same time.
Interesting. So, you mean as in a gray?
Yes, a gray.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Or a mantis being, which I've been doing some research about that. But it gets a little stranger than that, because the very next day, without the group, I walked the trail personally. I did not carry anything with me in the way of recording devices or anything like that. And this all takes place in the same little area. As I'm walking up there on the trail, I start coming back and feeling that kind of a euphoric feeling. As I'm coming back, I notice four rays of light. They almost look like lightsabers. Lights form in a rectangular box. And they were glowing. At first, I thought it was a sunlight reflection. But when I noticed, the lights were actually suspended in midair.
Ooh.
So they looked like fluorescent light bulbs, basically, and formed a triangular box. My first reaction looking at it was not to get too close to it, but I wasn't had any fear of it. You know, I just had
So it was in front of you? It was in front of you to where you could walk up to it and touch it?
Well, I could have if I wanted to, but I didn't feel that I should be doing that.
I understand.
My only reaction to that was, well, you don't see that every day. And I kept passing by it, and I think your mind's trying to digest what you're seeing. And as I pass by the trail, I'm looking back at it. The next thing I see is a large a beach ball size orb, translucent orb with glowing orange around it. It makes its way in between the four rods, and as it's going in there, within 3 or 4 seconds, it totally disappears.
Oh, my.
So I'm sure that the incident the day before, which was the cloaking creature and the orbs and the lights, are totally related. In this particular area, we continue to have areas of strangeness. I go up that trail like daily, once or twice a day, actually taking pictures, and I've had Sasquatches, younger ones, of course, yelling at me and hooting at me and whooping at me and stuff. So it's been an interesting experience.
I bet. What is, being around this so much, what's your intuition tell you? What do you think they are?
I think I have a connection kind of with the Sasquatches from a telepathic standpoint, I think.
I hear a lot of people say that. But we must say in the Bigfoot world, mind speak, correct?
Well, kind of along that lines to a degree. But my feeling is I think that the Sasquatches are protected and they're working in association with other creatures. They could be either off-planetary or an interdimensional at that point.
Do you think they're protected? When you say they're protected, who do you think is protecting them?
I think other races. It could be the Greys.
Oh.
It could
oh.
be any number of things. I think the Sasquatches themselves have access to getting, entering and leaving through portals. That's why it's a little hard to figure out where they're actually living.
See, I think the Sasquatch are protecting the Greys. They're like the Wookiee. They're like their...
that could be true, too.
Yeah, right? As soon as you run into a Sasquatch and they throw a rock at you or you just see it, you go the other way. So anything behind the Sasquatch is safe.
Right.
That's how I see it.
Well, the story continues on, and right now I'm compiling quite a bit of material. I'm trying to look for... I'm looking at writing a book this coming year in 2015. Along with all the material and research I'm putting on YouTube. So it's going to be quite an interesting story.
Well, please stay in touch with us. And you said Planet Sasquatch. Is that what to look for on YouTube?
Yeah, that's my particular channel, Planet Sasquatch. I just put that on recently in the last few days. And I'm posting all the material, the actual pictures of the Sasquatches that are actually appearing in my photos. Of course, the gal that took the smoking video, who is kind of an authority, she has a YouTube channel called Barb and Gabby.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you for your information, also your great stories, and keep them coming with us, everybody. Hey, that's what we're here for, to tell each other and learn from each other what we experience so we can try to connect the dots. That's what it's all about, to search for the truth. So thank you very much, Sam. Let's take another call. We have William east of the Rockies in Alabama. Hey there, William.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Well, I'll get right down to it.
I appreciate that.
I've served in the military for 22 years. And
thank you.
A whole lot I've come up against that I'm not scared of.
Right.
I work part-time for one of the mine companies down here in Alabama.
Interesting.
As security, because the mine has shut down for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The story I have spans over 3 days.
Okay, and is this a gold mine, coal mine?
I believe it was a coal mine. Don't hold me to it, though.
Okay.
The first night this happened about 6 weeks ago. The first night was on a Tuesday. I was watching three little lights. It was a red light, a blue light, and a green light. They were swirling around and came together to make one big white light.
Ooh.
And it got so bright that it literally blinded me for just a second and then was gone.
Okay.
So I told the guy who believes me in the morning about it, and, well, you know, like most people, they're going to call you crazy.
Mm-hmm. So you got that, huh? Instantly.
Oh, yeah. I've never been one to believe in UFOs or anything like that. But he come to me with a video after his shift when I came in the next night, because he likes, for some reason, he loves to videotape birds on his phone.
He likes to what?
Walk out,
videotape birds. Oh, that's a hard thing to do. Okay.
But he had one on his phone. Actually, still have the bird at home. It was a woodcock. I don't know if you're familiar with that bird. It's like a giant hummingbird is what it looks like.
Oh, nice.
But it's flying along, and then it's like it hit a brick wall and slid down, but there's nothing there.
And he's got video of that.
He does.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I went over there to where the bird is, and this was a couple of hours after it happened. The bird was still warm. I picked it up, and it was just like feather-covered jello. I mean, it was all the bones had just been pulverized.
And you're saying because he was just flying, didn't see anything, ran right into something invisible, boom, just shattered his bones, and that's why he went down?
I guess. I mean, that's what it seemed like to me.
Absolutely.
But whenever I took over the shift, I heard a lot of rocks rustling. I had a couple rocks thrown at me.
Ooh.
I figured, you know, it's just some trespassers. Well, I told him about that. He's a little sketchy about going back out there. And I've quit going out there. I actually quit the company because of this.
Really?
He told me, you know, the next day went by smoothly. Nothing happened. I went back out there and signed in that night. And I got to hear just hellish screams. It sounded like a woman being raped out in the woods. This is like a 30-acre mine. So the woods, beyond the woods, there's nothing. And in the back of my head, I'm shining my flashlight around. I got my back to the entrance to the cave. And in my mind, you know how you get that little voice in your mind? It's
mm-hmm.
almost like your conscience. It keeps telling me, you need to move, you need to move, you need to move. About this time, I have this horrible pain in my side, and I'm flying about, I want to say it's 15 feet from where I was standing. And there's this dark brown and reddish colored hair covered creature, probably about 8 feet tall. And the closest thing I could tell was it swatted me out of its way while it's running out of the cave into the forest.
Oh, wow.
So,
did you have a bruise from that?
I actually have 4 broken ribs.
Oh, my. And do you have that documented? Did you go to the hospital and you...
I did go to the hospital.
You did?
And I quit that night.
Oh, my.
So, I never believed in Bigfoot. I've never believed in UFOs. And I heard the show tonight, and I think I believe in all of them now.
I bet you do.
I think they're all rolled up into one. I don't know if you can tell them. I get the shakes even 6 weeks later. So
that's, I can understand. I've talked to many people that have seen things like you're talking about and experienced things, and I have myself, and it changes your life. It changes your perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. Even in war, I wasn't as scared as I was at night.
And that's something.
And I still have dreams about it. It's kind of freaky.
Right. Wow.
For you, I'll let you get to more callers. I just put it out there and see if there's any more like that, you know, with any kind of occurrence like that.
Yeah, and this just happened to you.
Yes.
Well, William, thank you so much for that story. That was fascinating. And hang in there. Sorry to hear that you were banged up like that, but it was nice that you shared that story with us so other people can hear this. I know a lot of times, you know, I like to say we like to make it safe here for you to tell your stories because it's not a lot of people that will make it safe for you to tell those stories. So thank you very much, William. That was East of the Rockies out of Alabama. And that, of course, is also where I've experienced them. Once you've experienced them, you know they exist and you know they're everywhere. I'm just telling you what it's like. So let's hit the wild card line. Sid in Abilene, Texas. Hey there, Sid. How are you?
Fine, Connie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I enjoy these types of stories because, you know, it's relatable to things that I've seen or been around. And so it's nice to know that some others have, too. What about you?
Yeah, I was going back to Seguin, Texas on Friday night back in 1988 in October.
Mm-hmm.
It was October the 30th, I believe. Oh. And I was traveling down the highway. We went to Big Lake, and then we was going to go to Ozona. Go straight to Ozona from Big Lake. And as we got close to, well, we was pretty closer to Ozona than we was Big Lake when we was going. And we could see these two figures in the bar just moving around. They kind of looked funny looking like they're bobbing in each other, moving around and stuff. But when we got there close to it, I could see this big hairy thing. It was, looked like it had red hair, and it was by the fence, and it was still in the bar ditch, you know, but it looked like it was about 10 foot tall, and then it started moving around, and it picked up something hairy. I thought it picked up something hairy, that's all I could see, but I went into a police station in Ozona and told them about it and made a report, and I didn't tell them what I thought it was, I just described it, and they said it looked like, felt like Bigfoot to them. And I said, that's what I figured it was. I said, won't say nothing.
Oh, wow. Well, and what do you think it was picking it up? What do you think it was picking up?
Well, that night when we went home, when we got home to Seguin, that night I had a dream about it. I went back in my dream, back to the time when I seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I was standing there looking at him. And it was holding a female.
Oh.
And her hair was kind of blonde. It's like a... like a collie. Looking on the bottom. Real shaggy looking. Kind of yellow looking hair. And the big one was holding it. And her face was in his chest. So you couldn't see her face. But I could see his face clearly. And he was giving me the meanest look you ever seen in your life. He had to look in his eye like, if I get a hold of you, I'll kill you.
You know, Sid, that's a great story. It almost sounds as though he was upset that he was having a romantic moment or something. They're the real thing, and they're all over, so they have to have some romantic moments. Sid, thank you very much for that story, and I know it does change your life, and I know that feeling. Ooh. So we have open lines, and we'd like to hear more of your stories on Bigfoot, ET-related type stories here on Coast to Coast with Open Lines. Thank you. In for George Norrie, I'm Connie Willis. You're listening to Coast AM. Hope you're enjoying your holiday weekend, getting your shopping done. Don't forget to go ahead and check out Coast to Coast AM and get a Coast Insider subscription for someone. That's a great gift. I know that'd been one I would have wanted somebody to have gotten me. Well, we are making it safe to tell your stories right now with open lines. They continue. We have lots of callers on the line talking about their Bigfoot stories and related to ET in some way. So we're going to be going out to the wild card line coming up here on Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM, Connie Willis here with Open Lines, talking to, on the wild card line, Susan of Tucson, Arizona. Susan, you got something Bigfoot for us?
Yeah, I do. Hi, I actually have a story that happened in the 70s. I was a teenager, and Well, there's really two parts to the story. And the first one, I did call on it like months ago, but I never connected the second story until I was listening to your show tonight. But what happened is I was coming home in a car with my boyfriend, and it was late at night. We were coming home from a party, and we were on a country road that was very, very deserted, all cattails and shrubs, and by a lake, the backside of a lake. And there was a couple of farms on there, but nothing on the stretch of road that we were on. And it was a lot of bends in the road, so we couldn't go too fast. And we came around a sharp bend in the road, and standing right there was this huge creature, about 8 feet tall, hairy. I didn't know what a Bigfoot was then. I didn't know what to make of it. I thought it was like part human, part ape. And I thought maybe it was somebody in a costume or something. And I was so frightened. I remember my boyfriend saying, "Lock the doors, lock the doors." And we had these manual locks, and I was able to quickly, you know, lock my door, but I couldn't turn around. I was too scared to turn around and lock that back seat door.
Oh.
So I was just frozen, and this creature, we were going around 45 because we couldn't go too fast around this curve, and this creature was right next to my window running at that speed, keeping up with the car.
Whoa.
Trying to open the door, and he couldn't open the door. And finally, when that road straightened out, we were able to really accelerate, and we were able to lose him then.
This thing was running. You're saying it's running alongside the car with you at high speed.
45 miles. And then when we accelerated, and we just tore out of there because we were both so frightened.
That's a nightmare. Holy moly.
It was a nightmare. It's something I'll never forget. And when I got home, I was sharing that story with my family, and my sister said, "It's a Bigfoot. It's a Bigfoot." Oh, I never even thought of a Bigfoot. I just thought, what is this thing? It just came out of the woods and just started racing after the car. So then about a month later, my father had had horses. So we were baling hay on a different property, and the same guy that I was with, we were stacking all the bales up that fell off of the baler, and we were in an upper field, and my father and my brother and sisters were in a lower field away from us, and we were stacking up all the hay bales so that when the wagon came back up, he'd only have to make one stop and load up all the bales that fell off the baler. So I was stacking a bale, and I remember that it was a big moonlit night. You could see everything. And I turned around after I put the bale in the pile, and I was standing right next to my boyfriend, and I turned around, and here's this big black, looked like a house. It really did. It looked like a very deep black opaque house floating in the air, coming towards us very, very slowly, but steadily coming at us, not a sound, nothing. And I could see the moonlight. I could see the sides of it. So I knew it. I mean, you could clearly see. It looked like a big black two-story house moving towards us.
Interesting.
About 40, 50 feet away. And I said, "What is that?" And he said, "I don't know." He grabbed my hand, and we ran so fast. We ran down the hill and told everybody what happened, but I never put those two incidences together until I was listening to the show, and I'm thinking, I wonder if that is an ET, if that big object, that big black, that beam that we saw that was about 8 feet, if it was related to that black object that we saw coming slowly towards us. Well, it's kind of funny because, not funny, but my father died a couple years ago, and I saw this old boyfriend because him and my dad went deer hunting together, and they remained friends. And we were sitting at the family table, and one of the family members said, "Did that really happen?" And we just recounted the whole story all over again.
Oh, wow.
So
I'm sure.
You kind of doubt, like, did that really happen?
Well, now you can retell the story again, connecting these dots, right?
Right. So it's just really, it was really strange. It was like somebody was trying to get us.
Oh, is that the feeling you had?
That's the feeling I had, that somebody was trying to get us, yeah.
Interesting, because last time I was on, we talked to Archbishop James Long on demons, but also Dr. David Jacobs on ETs. And Dr. David Jacobs will tell you that there are no ghosts, there's nothing else, no demons, there's nothing else out there except ET. And anything you see that's ET, whether you think it's a scary clown or, you know, ghost or something like that, it's actually ET, and they are coming for you. So he always thinks if you are seeing something too, it is coming at you to abduct you. So it's interesting that you say that. But before you get off the phone, let me ask you, when the Bigfoot-looking character was running alongside the car trying to grab the open window, did you see that? Did you look?
Handle.
Oh, the door handle?
The door handle, yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't
did you?
The window.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, when that was happening, did you guys look at each other eye to eye by chance?
No, I was too afraid. I looked, when we came, like, right in contact with them, you know, and the car slowed down on the curb and he was standing there, then it was eye to eye, yeah. But after that, it was just a race to get out of there, and I was too, like I said, I couldn't even lock that back door.
Well, what was eye to eye like? Wow.
Yeah, he was right next to the car and running, you know, running like a couple of feet from the car and trying to get to the door handle. And that's when we thought, oh, we got to get out of here. This is horrible. I mean, you never think that you're going to see something like that in the dead of night, you know. You just never expect anything like that. I mean,
you never, ever expect anything like that. Susan, thank you so much.
The hairs on the back of my neck are still standing up from thinking about it all over again.
They're standing up for me, too. I appreciate your phone call and telling us your story. I really do. That was Susan from Tucson, Arizona. We're going to go west of the Rockies in Springfield, Oregon. Joe, hello.
Hey, Cindy.
Connie, let's get this straight now. It's Connie.
Connie, pardon me.
Yeah, no, that's okay, Jim. I mean, Jeff, I mean, Joe. No, that's fine. Not a problem. Go ahead.
Okay, well.
How are you?
I'm a geothermal exploration geologist. I've lived up here in the Northwest most of my life, and I keep running across numerous Bigfoot stories, and the ones that are the most interesting are those where people witness these things dematerialize, as Stan had referred to.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these people who witnessed this is a dear friend of mine that I've known for 50 years, and he and his wife and another couple hiking up in the Wallawas smelled something horrible and looked around, and here's a Bigfoot staring at him at a distance of about 30 yards, broad daylight, 2:00 in the afternoon, and they stood there and stared at it eye to eye.
Ooh.
And the thing dematerialized. There's a Indian reservation in Northeast California where the people said they witnessed one materialize and dematerialize in a tree on the edge of town, just like the Cheshire Cat. But the most interesting one was a guy who came up from Oakland, Oregon, and he spoke here at the Eugene Public Library, and he was an old retired logger, and he was out hunting, was going to shoot a deer sitting on a stump, and a Bigfoot appeared at the other side of the clearing. He had it in his sights, and he got a mental message in his head from the Bigfoot to put the gun down, and the Bigfoot came over and befriended him, according to his story, took him into another dimension where the Bigfoots live.
Whoa!
He wrote a book about this. And he was going not only around the state, but around the world, telling his story about how the Bigfoot had taken into this other dimension on several occasions. And I would love to find out what that book was and try to get a copy of it if any of your listeners are listening in and could provide you that information on Coast to Coast. I'd sure appreciate it.
Oh, well, I was hoping you had it. I'm excited here myself about that. You're right. I hope that we can do that. Somebody please let us know about that, and we can get that answer back out there. Wow, Joe, that I love to hear that stuff. What are your thoughts after hearing this from people?
Well, I know these people. I mean, this man who told me he saw one vanish, I have known this man for 50 years. He's a very close, dear friend of mine, a very serious individual. And I can't just write off what he's telling me. I have to believe what the man is telling me. And working with the Native Americans up on that reservation, mm-hmm. I had some of the most fantastic stories, including, and I've heard this story twice now, one up there on the reservation and once here near Eugene, that Bigfoot actually materialized in their house. One of the Native Americans said that he and his girlfriend had one appear in their bedroom. Now, is that about weird or whatnot? But tonight, one of your callers mentioned that they witnessed a Bigfoot disappear in a flash of light when it was shot, and mm-hmm. that's the second time I've heard that testimony on Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny that you talk about these people saying that it materialized in their bedroom, in their homes. I've heard that before too. You're the second time that I've heard it, you know, since obviously the first time I heard it. And that one was kind of strange to me.
A local person reported that one materialized in their kitchen, in their home up the Mohawk here.
You know, you think that you just go out in the woods and hopefully run across one, but to have them materialize in your house,
Right.
Joe, that's some scary stuff. Thank you very much for that information. Wow. I have heard people tell me that they have seen these things in their home, and some people say they actually try to call out for these things, and they do come into their home. Now, you know, that again matches up with extraterrestrial type beings, because people will call them into their homes and they say they see them and channel with them and talk with them and do all sorts of things with them ET-wise. And I also, you know, here we go again with people materializing things, either whether they pulled it in themselves or it just, who knows why they would just show up in somebody's kitchen. I don't know, but it does, again, match with what people talk about when it comes to extraterrestrials. So that's why it was so important for me to find out the twist here, because they seem to just have similarities. Again, I've talked to some people that do believe that there are Bigfoot that are just flesh and blood, that's it. And then you have others that say, no, there's a whole nother group that are extraterrestrial or interdimensional. So great stories to really back up that, huh? Well, let's go back to the phones. We have first-time caller Sandy out of Miami, Florida. Miami, wow, I bet your temperatures are pretty nice down there, Sandy.
They're cool by our standards, Connie, but I'm actually hunting, getting ready to go in the woods in North Florida in a couple of hours, and I'm not sure I want to.
Excellent. Oh, that's hilarious. We scared you back out of the woods.
let me tell you this. One of the things about Miami and the greater area there that I've started a number of years ago, I had a neighbor who sat there one afternoon telling me, yeah, I shot my first deer on what is now the corner of 71st Street and 37th Avenue, which is like almost inconceivable. You're sitting there in the middle of town. And I started having this desire to chronicle South Florida's hunting history. And just coincidentally, about that time, I was at the house of a friend whose grandfather, still alive at that time, elderly man, had been a Broward County Sheriff's Department peace officer for many years. And he had what was at that time West Broward County, and you didn't have to go far. And by that time, I'm referring to the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And you didn't have to go far at that time out of town before there was nothing there. There were some orange fields, orange groves at that time, woods,
okay. Right.
You know, very rural. And we were sitting there one day when discussion just kind of came up about the skunk ape. And the elderly gentleman said, you know, I got so tired of having to answer those calls. So I looked at him quizzically and I said, you know, you actually answered calls. He goes, I answered calls in the 40s. I answered calls in the 50s and the 60s on what is now West Broward. So I thought it was interesting. And this kind of evolved into, he was this incredibly meticulous record keeper of calls that he would answer. And he started pulling out old, you know, personal journals. And a lot of it was regular police call type of stuff. But they were hundreds and hundreds of calls answering what was a skunk ape.
Interesting.
And, yeah, which, of course, is what we have down in the Everglades. And he goes, no, he goes, we would answer calls like this. And he spoke to the officers just north of his district and south of his district, and they were all answering those kind of calls. And I started talking to the Seminoles and the Miccosukees on, like, the Hollywood Reservation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how casual, how nonchalant they were about, yeah, we knew they were there. They were there. We kind of lived side by side with them. Mm-hmm. And I go, really? And I go, what was your perception of what they were? And they just referred to them as big, hairy men. And I asked them, I said, well, did you find them at all threatening? And they said, to a person, the Indians would tell me, no. As a matter of fact, we found their presence very calming. And I thought that was, you know, I thought that was sort of interesting when they said that. But I started logging together all of this kind of information. And it just, you know, all I have to work from is that area from the 40s on up. And, God, there are literally, between peace officers, Indians, there are literally thousands of interactions or times when people would come into contact with them. For some of the officers, it was an extremely rural property owner who was working an orange grove and had one like near a tree and they were concerned about their heavy equipment and the thing wouldn't move. You know, another time it might be that there was something appeared like it had been not broken into like a vandal, but just like an animal would get into something. And all of these kind of things. And some of the officers actually saw them, and they would write down the description, closest thing I can call it is a big giant orangutan.
Oh, wow. Sandy, hate to cut you off, but we've got to make a few commercial breaks here. But thank you very much. We wish you luck on your hunting trip in the next couple of hours and hope that maybe you can take a picture of a skunk ape for us. We'll be back with Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Thanks, Sandy.